following program is sponsored by House of Prayer.
Welcome to God's Heritage. Although we said the Women's Hour would return this week, we saw fitting to bring to you one more week of the Witnesses, but not without dedicating it to Moriah Miche Dennis, a beacon of hope in this darkened world.
Welcome back to The Witnesses. On last week's broadcast, we heard the conclusion of EJ's testimony about how God brought him to the military and taught him that people are all the same. They are just looking for someone to listen to them, love them, and be an example to them. This week, we want to show our appreciation for all of our soldiers, airmen, sailors, and Marines in a tribute to the United States military. We support you, we pray for you, and above all, we salute you. We salute the U.S. Army, the greatest army in the world, with over 1 million service members across active duty, reserves, and National Guard components. Formed in 1775 under General George Washington, they actively deploy, fight, and win our nation's wars by providing land dominance across all theaters of conflict. Undefeated, the U.S. Army stands as the world's number one army and as the defenders of our nation's freedoms. The Army goes rolling along. This will defend. We salute the United States Air Force, American air superiority at its finest. To fly, fight, and win. Air power, anytime, anywhere. First founded in 1907 as the Army Air Corps, the United States Air Force was made its own branch of the Department of Defense under the National Security Act of 1947. With 390,000 active duty and reserve airmen and women, they provide critical air supremacy, global integrated intelligence, and surveillance reconnaissance needed to maintain our nation's freedoms. Aim high. Fly, fight, and win. We salute the U.S. Navy, the most formidable navy in the world. Founded in 1775 with a mission to protect America at sea, defend freedom and economic prosperity, and to deter aggression. With over 389,000 service members in active duty service and Navy reserves, a fleet of over 480 battle-ready vessels and 2,600 aircraft, the Navy continues to ensure that no enemy combatant has ever set foot on American soil. They protect and maintain the sovereign integrity of our country's shores and our nation's freedoms. Not self but country, fair winds and following seas. We salute the United States Marines, the quick reaction force of America. Their mission is to provide a force capable of rapidly responding to crises and winning battles, with a focus on amphibious operations and supporting naval campaigns. With over 205,000 active duty and reserve Marines standing at the ready, they continue to defend our embassies and freedoms all over the world. Semper Fidelis, always faithful. Here at House of Prayer, we believe that Christians can make the best soldiers because the values of our country and its military are founded on biblical principles. Who can better uphold and champion those values in their unit and around the world than a Bible-believing Christian? Being a soldier does not conflict with being a Christian. It provides an avenue for a person that wants to protect and serve others to do so. We are grateful for the sacrifice and suffering that our military members endure to protect us day in and day out. We find those virtues throughout the Bible, and they are not exclusive to God's commands to soldiers. They make a person better, regardless of their occupation. But the Bible does have specific passages for soldiers. and we want to read one of them to you now. When soldiers came to a preacher to ask what God desired them to do, they demonstrated an obedience and humility that make a good soldier.
In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, it tells us of the John the Baptist revival, where he preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And in verse 14, it says, "And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, 'And what shall we do?'"
My name is Raymar Pierre-Paul, and I served in the United States Marine Corps for 9 years. My MOS was 6323, CH-53 helicopter avionics technician. In 2015, I received an invitation to church, and shortly after, I decided to give my life to God.
My name is Pedro Trejo. I served the United States Army, got invited to church in 2022. I gave my heart to God, and until this day, I'm still serving the Lord.
And my name is Ellen Smith. I was an 11 Bravo Infantry Scout Sergeant. I got invited out to church in 2012, and I've been obtained help from God and continue to this day.
My name is Randall Klonke. I joined the United States Army in 2005 as a 35 Tango Military Intelligence Systems Maintainer. In March 2007, I decided to give my life to God, whom I serve today.
My name is Staff Sergeant Samuel J. Guyett. I serve in the 82nd Airborne Division, 3rd Brigade Combat Team 2505 Hotel Company, and I gave my life over to God while I was on active duty.
My name is Emmett II Graham. I served 20 years in the United States Navy. I got invited out to church early on in my career and eventually gave my heart to God shortly after. And I'm so glad I didn't wait any longer.
It's important for people to serve God in the military, to show that soldiers can be honest, compassionate, and humble, even while defending our country and way of life. There will always be bad examples in every walk of life, but to have soldiers be a witness to the world is vital to our security. One bad soldier can do much harm, but one Christian soldier can project the power of God in any corner of the globe they find themselves in. Let's hear from a soldier who is deployed in Poland right now as he shares how he made a stand for God.
Since coming to church in April of 2023, God has helped me tremendously to be a Christian while serving in the United States Army. I remember the life that I was living in sin when I first joined the Army, even before I joined the Army, getting away from church, having been in church as a little boy and getting away from it, and God using the military to get me back into church. And I just thank God that I was able to go through the trials that I had to go through, that I was able to endure the mockings, even from my own peers and my subordinates. And just me being able to show that contrast that you don't have to clock out on God while you're in the military, that you can even serve God while you're in the military, that you don't have to turn to the social norms that comes with the stigmas centered around the military. And I just give God the glory for that.
Being a good example to others isn't the only reason to be a Christian soldier. Especially when deployed, you need God's protection. When you put yourself in harm's way to protect others, having others praying for your safety can mean the difference between life and death. Here at God's Heritage, we have heard countless accounts of God delivering soldiers in battle. Let's take just a moment to hear one such account so that we can glorify this great God and build faith in other soldiers so that they will trust God as well.
I was in the 82nd Airborne Division, 3rd Brigade, 2505. They call it the Panther Brigade, Airborne all the way. It was back in 2009. This was in Iraq. It was my first deployment. I came to church for about maybe 3 weeks to a month, and I got deployed. I remember it was this particular convoy. So usually when we have a convoy, you know, you do a rehearsal before the convoy. So let's say if the convoy is tomorrow, we'll do the rehearsal today. We have rehearsed everything, but I was supposed to be the lead vehicle. And I remember The day of the convoy, I got pulled to another vehicle. Now that is really, really strange, because that's the whole point of doing the rehearsal. So when I got pulled, instead of maybe in the first vehicle, now I've become the second vehicle. So we were there. We left the wire, everything, you know, we got out of the vehicle, you know, do our weapon check, everything, make sure we're lock and load, everything. Got back in the vehicle and we started going. We got to some point, all I could hear was boom. The vehicle that was in front, which was supposed to be our lead vehicle, it got hit by IED. I remember that day I was sitting in my truck, you know, hands sweating, shaking, everything, looking at the vehicle that I was supposed to be in, just got blown up. Now that was real. But I remember sitting there that day, just sitting there, just thinking about it over and over, like, that could have been my vehicle. So we had to sit there. Not only did the vehicle got blown up, now I'm sitting there watching this thing. You can smell the smoke, you know, some people didn't make it. But thank God for his mercy to what was me. Just thinking about it just make me feel like I'm a debtor. You know, I'm not entitled, you know, like, who does that? You know, after you do the rehearsal, everything, and it just changed the whole plan. Like, it's not something that just happened, but knowing now, it was the mercy of God and the people of the church that was praying for me.
Truly, we give God glory and thanks for all the prayers he has answered and all the men and women that he has protected over the years. Over the last couple of weeks, we heard from another soldier that shared some of his close calls and how God delivered him. God's protection showed him that God has a plan for his life, and that the Army was a means toward that end. Now, we're going to hear from another soldier that joined the Army with a desire to defend and protect, only to find out later that God wanted him to do something else later in life. This trend can be seen over and over, God using the military to help young men and women, teach them values, and set them on the course that he really wants them on. The military is a great career for some, and for others, it is an indispensable tool that God uses to shape the instruments that he wants to use.
I was just completing my third year of teaching in Richmond City Public Schools, and it was a drawing in my heart that year. I didn't understand what it was or what was going on after 9/11 that I wanted to join the military. So I finished my third year teaching in Richmond City Public Schools in Virginia, and I joined the military November of 2002. And I went through basic training, and then I went to OCS, and then I went to officer basic course. I became an officer, came in commissioned as a second lieutenant. I had a goal in my mind, and I just wanted to push myself that I was going to be a general. I wanted to do something different than my family. I was really driven to succeed in the military, and that drive was what kept me going. And I promoted pretty rapidly, first lieutenant and then captain. And when I got promoted to captain, something started to kind of change in my life. I miss working with the children. I've been on multiple deployments. My first deployment to Iraq was in 2005. I was a platoon leader for a chemical company. We had many missions there. We have chemical missions, but we also had guard missions, ECPs, which is entry control points. This particular day, when we were manning an entry control point, there was an attack by Al-Qaeda on some truckers with a father and a young man in the vehicle. And they came over the radio. There was a small arms attack, so I went outside the gate with my team leader, my medic, and we assessed the scene. When I got out there, I saw this young man laying on the ground, shot in the head, bleeding really bad, but I knew he was gone. And at that moment, something jarred in me. I was like, wow, this kid is young enough to be my son. And that's what I saw laying on the ground that day. His dad was laying next to him, and he was in excruciating pain. And as the medic was trying to work with him, he was just screaming out in so much pain, he didn't even know his son was gone. But I knew at that moment that something came alive at that point where I knew that I needed to help children. I didn't understand it at the time, but it was a very powerful moment for me. But it was the beginnings of something in me that reminded me that I'm not in the right field. I knew I was in the wrong place. I should have been working with kids, but that was sown that day. So I stayed in a little bit longer. I made it to major, and I became a battalion S3, which is, you know, the first step to advancing toward lieutenant colonel. I could have became lieutenant colonel. I was on that route to do that. You know, I just needed a couple other assignments, but my desire to work with young people was greater than that. So I got out the military in 2016, and ever since, my whole focus has been working with these young kids, working with children, seeing them grow and doing whatever God has called them to do. There's nothing else in life that is greater than instilling values, instilling love, instilling the virtues of Christ in their life. There's nothing greater. No, there's no amount of money. There's no amount of rewards. There's no amount of promotion. You make in general is nothing compared to that.
We may not all be called into the United States military, but God calls us all to be soldiers for the Lord. Paul told Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier, even though Timothy was a preacher and not in the army. Discipline, toughness, loyalty, and all the other qualities that make a good soldier are also required to be a good Christian. Christians will still go through trials, persecutions, and tough times. Some may see the rigor and hardship that it takes to be a soldier and doubt whether they have what it takes to go through it. But God doesn't require us to be special forces before we follow Him. He will make and mold us into what He wants us to be through experiences. Let's hear as a former drill instructor compares making physical soldiers to how God makes soldiers of the cross.
As a drill sergeant, our job was to turn civilians, 17 to 20-year-olds, sometimes 21-year-olds, from civilians into a soldier, taking them into a process that begins to break them down and tend to build them back up. When they first come, they don't know anything about the military. And so many, they begin to get into mentality that they want to quit, to all the difficulties or the breaking process. And then you as the drill sergeant, you find ways to get through to them. No, shut up. Don't think like that. There's no quitting here. You're only looking at the small picture. I'm looking at the big picture. I know how to get you there. You just have to listen to me. Do what I tell you to do, and I'll get you there. And so now, as a veteran out of the military, it's all the different lessons I learned as drill sergeant, the military in general, it began to help me to understand the Christian life more. As I would go through the training, look at the soldiers, I began to see that it's just like Christianity. People come to God, they come to church, they come to Christ. They don't know what to do, what to expect, none of these things. And some, it begins to discourage them, can I really live like that? Can I really live the requirements of all these things that I'm hearing? You just have to go through the process. All right? And the process is one of the first things in boot camp or the military they try to weed out of you is that desire to quit. There's no quitting. There's no drawing back. There's a part of the Army's warrior ethos. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. And so that's the first thing you have to get out of them. And it's the same thing in God and Christianity. Like God, he wants to weed out the quitting spirit out of people. Because like, why would the military want to invest all this time and energy, all right, and then for somebody to quit, it was all for nothing? And God is the same way. There has to be testing and trying. There has to be things that people have to go through, just like these soldiers had to go through the training, the hardship of it all, the strictness, the discipline of it all. But it was all designed to build them up and begin to get that quitting spirit. Because once they get to that part, that part where there's no more quit in them, then you can really begin to like mold them. And it's the same thing in Christianity with God. We have to give God like time to be able to take us through the process. Just like these soldiers, they had to like give us time to take them to the process to be able to get them what they're supposed to be. And that's soldiers. And it's the same with God. People have to give God time to be able to take them to a process to make them a soldier for Christ. So for those who are listening, right, understand this, that Christianity, just like soldiering in the military, is a process. And that you can serve God in the military, and you can serve God out of the military. And so because the whole world is filled with people who have like no character, that's what the world is yearning for, right? People of character.
God can take anyone that is willing and make them into a soldier in the Lord's army if they just don't quit. God's army doesn't fight physical battles. It wars against sin, oppression, and selfishness. While the military swears to uphold the Constitution at home and abroad, Christians first fight their battles within, and then are able to help others conquer their own battles. The role of the military is not solely destructive. In many ways, it is constructive, building up and providing a safe space for others to grow. Christians are the same. We oppose the destructive forces of pride, sin, and evil, but we spend the majority of our time helping the world around us. Anyone can do that. Anyone can be a Christian soldier, and anyone can be a witness. Let's close with a prayer for the men and women in uniform who serve to make the world a better and safer place.
Here at the Witnesses Program, we would like to pray for all those who have served or are serving in the military. Lord God, we thank you, God, for all the men and women, God, Lord, that serve in uniform, God, all the difficulties, God, that the job, God, Lord, calls for, God, the sacrifices, men and women and their families. God, we pray, God, that you would strengthen, God, Lord, our men and women in uniform. Do something, God, Lord, special, God, Lord, in their lives. And God, Lord, that some way, somehow, that in their hearts and their minds, God, let them know, God, that they can serve, God, in the military with character. They can serve in the military with God and our Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. Because our will is our weapon. We pray, God, that you'll strengthen all our men and women in uniform all across the world. We give you the glory and thank you for everything, God, that you've done through these men and women. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
This broadcast is dedicated to Moriah Michelle Dennis, the living example of charity today. If you or someone you know is in need of prayer, we invite you to call our toll-free prayer request line. There is someone standing by 24/7, ready to pray with you. Call 1-866-414-PRAY. That's 1-866-414-7234. 866-414-7729. Our international prayer request line is also available in several languages. Call us toll-free at 1-833-772-9482. Again, that's 1-833-772-9482.